when you are showing the behind the scenes of you building something, I feel like people get on board and they're more likely to support you. Like, because I was showing the behind the scenes of me building, right? People didn't know what it was, but they knew that I was building something because I would constantly post about it.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, fam, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. Today, we have the incredible Sif Hader talking with us today all about her incredible brand, Array. Now, what I loved about today's episode is that Sif actually started out as a content creator, or really, I should say, more of a blogger way back in the day, and then became a brand founder. And if you guys have listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I love a content creator to brand founder story, and hers did not disappoint. Sif shared her journey of content creator and how she went from that to the brand founder of Array, which is some of the best products I think on the line that help with bloating, heartburn, indigestion, sleep, anxiety, you name it. It is some of the top products that I have found to really alleviate a lot of that. I found Array last year and actually used their bloat capsules throughout the holidays, and it really saved me when it came to those meals that I were having that were a little bit heavier, or maybe I was drinking more alcohol than I normally do. And I really fell in love with the product itself, started doing some research on the founder, met Sif, slid into her DMs and was like, will you please come on my podcast? And she said yes, and I'm so happy that she did. Now, I have put in the summary notes a lot of what we talk about today with the products that we're sharing. I've also put in some of my personal favorites that I love, but I really want you all to listen to this podcast episode to hear Sif's tips and tricks when it comes to growth, not only as a content creator that maybe you want to turn into a brand founder one day, but also just content creators who want to work with brands. If you're somebody who is wanting to work with a brand in a paid capacity, or you're somebody who's wanting to get a longer term partnership with a brand, or maybe you work with a brand, you are on the brand side and you're wanting to work with content creators in a better way, Sif does not hold back with giving us a ton of strategy and implementation on the best ways to do that. So with that, my friends, let's get started. Hi, Sif. It's so great to have you with us today.
I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited for you to be here. And a little bit of it is, obviously, I feel like it's always selfish because I love bringing in brilliant minds and just women and founders that I believe in so much to selfishly share them with my community. But then I also get to selfishly just soak their energy in when they have created something that I personally use and love. And you have done that. I showed this to you before we got started, but I'm literally holding my bloat capsules right now in my hand because I just had lunch before we popped on this, and I can't eat without taking my bloat capsules. For those of you that have followed me for any amount of time, you've seen me talk about Array on social media, but we're going to dive into all of that today with Sif, who is the founder of this incredible company, who has just a really beautiful line to support mind, body, and spirit, everything that we as founders need to really step into our highest self. And so with that to say, Sif, if you can just quick little introduction of how you got started. You're also a podcaster as well and have a phenomenal podcast, but how Array came about from your own personal journey.
Oh my gosh. First, thank you so much for that intro. That is so sweet. And, you know, I'm just so excited that we get to do this. But a little bit about, I guess, how Array came to be. Essentially, I was someone who, long story short, had struggled with my health for years. And in my early 20s, after being on this hamster wheel of constantly getting sick, taking antibiotics, getting better, doing it all over again, in my early 20s, I ended up fracturing a rib from a chronic cough. And when that happened, it's like, I mean, it's insane. Like, that shouldn't happen to begin with. But I went to my doctor and I was like, okay, like, well, what do I do here? How can we make sure that this doesn't happen again? Why am I just someone who has such a weak immune system? I didn't get any answers. And instead, I was just sent home with some codeine. And so I was really desperate. I was extremely frustrated. And at that point, I was like, everything that I've been doing up until this point, which is running to my doctor and taking these Band-Aid solutions, just isn't working. So let me look into the holistic route, which back then, Julie, was so weird. It was so granola. Like I just didn't really believe in it at all, but I was like, this is just, I'm desperate and I have to try something new. And so that's kind of how I got into holistic things, became my own guinea pig and started to see my immune system drastically improve with the introduction of herbs and minerals and vitamins, and obviously lifestyle changes as well. And then from there, I was like, okay, I wonder if I can do certain things for my digestion or fatigue or anxiety or all of these issues, which unfortunately as women, we've kind of been told to just settle for, you know? And as I started to feel so much better, I felt like as a consumer, there was this huge white space. So, you know, my husband as well, who's my co-founder, and he's extremely smart as well. So the two of us, we just noticed that as consumers, you know, I could go into a Sephora and find whatever I needed in the skincare department for things like dark circles or, you know, hyperpigmentation, or if someone had acne, whatever it was so easy to navigate as a consumer. It was just, you know, you knew what you were looking for. It was formulated by either a dermatologist or a chemist, and it was also really beautiful. So you'd want to actually use those products and create a habit and a ritual out of it. Whereas supplements was just not that. And fact of the matter was that I knew that there was a way to create products to help with certain problems that we have. And I couldn't understand why all supplements were so ugly that you just stuff it to the back of your pantry and never use it again. So that was the why behind Array. We wanted to create 100% natural targeted supplements that you'd actually feel the impact of. And we wanted to make it really beautiful so people would actually be really excited to use it.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow. If you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you. If you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams. And of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details. Yeah. And I think that you really nailed that. Just the view of it all from aesthetically, because aesthetics matter, knowing what looks good and what doesn't, and having something that feels in alignment to, I think, the person, the buyer, the client that is really going to say, this is what I need. I also love that it feels elevated just in terms of a visual branding standpoint. But I think what's more important is that it works. And I would love to hear a little bit about that journey of, you know, you figuring out the compounding, the products, the ingredients, what was really going to work, and how you decided. There's going to be a couple of questions in what I'm saying, but really first that, the compounding piece, and then how you decided, I want to know what product you launched with first and how you decided to launch with that. And then we can talk about the build out from there.
Yeah. So in terms of, I guess, like landing on products that worked, I guess that goes into which products we wanted to launch with. So from my experience, something that kept coming up in conversations, no matter who I was hanging out with, was how bloated and anxious they were. Okay. This was just a constant theme in every brunch, in every girls hangout, like any social situation. Bloating and anxiety would be two words that would come up no matter what, without fail. And so when I started to notice this pattern, Nish is my co-founder, the two of us, we were like, okay, why is this? Like, is this something that we're imagining, or is this actually something that is this common? And what we found out was that number one, bloating and anxiety are two things that are like a viral loop. Okay. So when we're bloated, think about the amount of mental, like real estate it takes up, right? We get anxious about how bad we feel. But on the flip side, think about when you're anxious, your body goes into fight or flight mode, which makes digestion really hard, which is why it's really difficult to break down food when we're anxious. And sadly, we live in a world where usually we are very stressed out because of work, life, kids, whatever your circumstances are. So bloating and anxiety were two things that were like an infinity loop. But beyond that as well, these are two issues that are very, very common amongst women specifically. And that's something that we went and triangulated with different doctors and medical professionals. So from there, I had been experimenting with different herbs, minerals, vitamins that I used for these things. But again, I'm not a formulator. So we worked with a doctor to formulate Bloat and Calm and take it to market, essentially with the hope of like helping people and making their lives better. And we were kind of like overwhelmed by how like the response that we got. So prior to launching it, I kind of utilized my community on Instagram because I was a creator before this and had focus grouped it. And the kind of messages that I was getting, even pre-launch, being like, when is this available for launch? This is crazy. Like, how is it working so well? So I was like, okay, this is obviously something, it's a product that works. I knew that it worked because the first time that I tried our like finalized version, I had come home from date night and I was literally like, just on my couch clutching my stomach because I'd had just a lot of things that maybe were not agreeing with me. And I had our like, at that point, like the version that we were working with. And I was like, oh my God, 10 minutes later, I noticed that my stomach wasn't hurting anymore. And I was like, this is insane. And so that's the version that we settled on. We were like, the proportions, everything's perfect. Let's take it to market. So that was, you know, the behind the scenes of like the launch.
Oh, I love that. And you just dropped so many juicy nuggets for all of the content creators, entrepreneurs, brand founders aspiring to be that listen to this podcast on how you decided what to launch with. So essentially it was something that you have not, that you've been looking for yourself. Like you have this problem, you need a solution. You can't find it in the marketplace yourself. So what do? You create it. But I love what you talked about with the focus group and the beta and your conscious decision to do that and how that really helped not only refine, okay, we're on the right path. This is what we need to launch with and take to market, but you had this built-in audience and really this built-in client base, essentially customer base that we're going to be able to kind of tout and share that yes, this does in fact work. It's amazing. So if you could share a little bit about once it got out to market, how did you use your background as a content creator, the community that you had already built up until then, how did that play a role in really getting the message out about the new product that you launched?
So the first thing I want to expand upon, Julie, is that a lot of people think that they need like hundreds of thousands or millions of followers in order to use their community. And that is simply not true. Okay. Even if you have 1,000 followers, you can go out or 500, pick the number. Okay. Like 200. Okay. You can go out onto stories being like, I'm thinking of launching something and I need a focus group. Can you just DM me if you struggle with this or this, or if you want to try a product, whatever it is, you can tap into your community. And I think also when you are showing the behind the scenes of you building something, I feel like people get on board and they're more likely to support you. Like, because I was showing the behind the scenes of me building, right? People didn't know what it was, but they knew that I was building something because I would constantly post about it. Like, do you struggle with this or this? Like, can you tell me in polls, like what you struggle with more or whatever it is? I would constantly be asking questions. I'd be showing behind the scenes. And so when we launched, that was something that worked to my advantage. Immediately it was people were purchasing the product, you know? So that was number one in terms of like what I did how I utilized my background to, I guess, like enhance the launch experience. That was number one. Number two is I gifted the product like crazy. Okay. So I had no big budget. Our brand was fully bootstrapped and Nish and I used our wedding money to put towards the business and didn't have a wedding. So that's all we had. Okay. So essentially I went out and gifted this product to as many people as I could. And I don't mean influencers with millions of followers. I mean, doctors, like naturopathic doctors. I mean, nutritionists. I mean, small scale health and wellness influencers. Essentially, my goal was to get it out to as many people as possible. Of course, I also gifted it to larger influencers, but I didn't stake my entire business on betting on those people. It was like a big range. And so what started to happen was people started to share this product with their micro communities. And we started to notice that people would hear about us from either the nutritionist or their doctor. And it started because, you know, we had started to gift to those people. So, you know, whatever your business is, I encourage people to think beyond these, like, you know, large scale influencers, because there's tastemakers as well in every community, right? And that can be someone with like smaller followers, but someone that people really trust. So, for example, if you are launching a food and beverage brand, don't just think of like the food influencer with millions of followers. Think of like your local chefs. Think of like personal private chefs who are in your community, and try to give to those people as well, because they will start using it and they'll, like, your brand name will start to come up over and over again.
Oh, that's such a good takeaway. And also, I love the flip side of this as well, because I want you to also share, because you see both sides of the coin. As a creator, you understand that side. And as a brand founder, you understand that side. And you just gave great feedback to somebody else that may be building a product or service right now on how to work with micro influencers or content creators. But I would love for you to also touch on to those micro content creators that listen to this podcast every single week that are sitting here and telling themselves that they can't partner with brands, or they can't build a relationship, or they're never going to be able to monetize their content because they don't have X amount of followers, or they don't have X amount of platform. I would love for you to share how building relationships and truly authentically loving a product and being intentional with the long game of what it means to build a relationship with a brand is actually what gets the micro or nano influencer or content creator that partnership that they may be, you know, working towards, or that collaboration that they may be desiring in the future.
We have had, so for us as a brand, we are very selective about who we do paid partnerships with, and we do not look at your number of followers. That is never what we look at. In fact, one of our most successful influencers, when we started working with her, had 60,000 followers. And the way we came across her was we had gifted her. And, you know, a few weeks down the line, we started to notice all of these sales come through. And we were like, where is this coming from? Like, what's happening? This is like a significant spike in order for us to notice this. And we realized that it was this like micro influencer who had posted about us, and people really were so, so engaged when it came to her content. So number one, she was so open to gifting and so willing to post the brand that, like, as soon as she did that one post, we were like, okay, she really loves this product. We want to partner with someone who loves this product. Number one, we will never go out to someone to partner with them if they've never used the product, if we don't even know if they like the product. Like, this is an ingestible that we're talking about, right? You can't fabricate how you feel about a product like that. So the words of advice that I'd have for a micro influencer is, I think, share the brands that you really like, because they are looking out for people exactly like you. And number two is cultivate your audience, right? So if you have a hyper engaged audience, your number of followers does not matter. I mean this with every fiber of my being. Some of our highest converting influencers are micro, and like 50, 60, 20, 10,000 followers. You'd be shocked at the kind of sales they can generate, because that's the kind of connection they have with their audience. And I think also the one thing that people maybe don't think about is when you are a smaller influencer, you actually have the ability to really connect with your audience. And so I would take that time to build that very close rapport. And then obviously as you scale, you continue that, but it's a much more difficult thing to do when you have a million followers. So it's just something to keep in mind. Take advantage of where you're at, and the number of followers does not coincide with the number of sales that you can generate or how a brand will perceive you at all.
Oh, that's so good. It's such a beautiful reminder of just this idea, because I say this a lot, so the listeners that listen to this podcast have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. Enthusiasm leads to sales, and people can see through the fake and the unauthentic. You know, if you are enthusiastic about something, you don't have to worry about anything else. Just worry about authenticity, that you love this brand, why you love this brand, why you're enthusiastic about it, how it's helped you, how it's supported you. You know, me even, you know, reaching out to you, Seth, and I was like, I have to have you on my podcast because I love your product and service. And like, it's not about anything else other than like, I've got to share this with my community because that is what I love to do most. And so I think that if people just remember that it's really about relationships first and people first. That goes such a longer way than just trying to make a quick buck or like what's wrong with me because I don't have the numbers or what's wrong with me because I can't do this. Like focus on that connection piece first. And I love that you said that. And I would love to hear a little bit about how the social media game, specifically Instagram and TikTok, how that has been a driving force just in the awareness and the marketing and the message of getting Array out there to people that may not have heard about it before.
I mean, Instagram has always been a huge piece of the puzzle for us. I think just from like we started the brand in what, 2020? So we're almost nearing 4 years, right? And Instagram has always been huge for us because it's allowed us to connect with our community, obviously. So it's like a direct line of contact that we have with our consumers, with our community. And so even in the early days, and I think that this is something that any younger brand founder can take away, it was myself and Nish who were in the DMs, literally answering customer service questions, like, you know, speaking to anyone who would tag us and just getting really curious. And I think that that is something like, don't underutilize social media. Like it is literally your direct line of communication with your consumers. It's your opportunity to see what's working for them, what they're liking, why they or how they heard about your brand, any problems that they have. We've also come up with like, okay, what product are we doing next based on conversations that we've had through social media, not just through DMs, but also we were polling people, all of that as well. So, it's such a powerful tool. And then obviously from the awareness standpoint, you know, people using social like Instagram to tag us and all of that as well. But I think like using your native channel as like a powerful tool is super, super important.
My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow. You need to scale. You need a marketing strategy. You need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff, and it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show. My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers. And you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. Go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion. That's so good. And it also lends me to want to ask you a question that I can't actually ask a lot of other people because they don't have this feedback to share. But as a fellow podcaster, I would love to know just your personal opinion and take. How has you you know, having a podcast, having that longer form content medium, how has that also supported the Array brand? Because I think that a lot of times brand founders, when they think of awareness, they just think of Instagram and TikTok, and we've got to get our message out there and we've got to get our message out here. But things like podcasting or an email list, it doesn't get talked about as much. So I would just love your personal take on how the podcast has been this driver for not only your own message and purpose and mission, but for the Array brand as a whole.
Oh my gosh. I could not say enough good things about podcasting. Like, I can literally talk about it for hours. Okay. So I think what people have to understand is that, okay, think of yourself as a consumer. Why do you buy into a new brand? It's because you trust them. You like their story. And oftentimes that is to do with, like, you want to know the brand story. And the founder having a podcast, it's really like their owned marketing channel to get their story across. This is how you can connect with your audience. This is how people can get to know you as a founder, your value systems, all of that. And it also allows you to establish credibility as a founder as well. Honestly, like, my podcast was a complete fluke. It was completely unplanned because I had started my podcast 2 years before launching Array, or a year and a half before launching Array. It's just something that ended up really helping Array, but in a complete, like, I wish I was that strategic, you know, but if I were to give someone advice right now, I would tell them to be so strategic, because for me, it was an accident, but it can happen on purpose for you. So it's an opportunity for people to be able to connect with you. Number two as well, if you are someone who has guests on the podcast, what easier way to get your product into the hands of people than have them on your podcast and gift it to them, you know? So that's also something that you should be considering as well. If you are someone who does sit down interview style episodes as well, the number of people who I was able to get Array into the hands of because of my podcast is something that, like, I don't even have the words for it. Like, the most insane people I was like, it's unfathomable, right? So a podcast is so important because that long form content is so, so valuable for people to get to know exactly who you are, for you to connect on a deeper level. I found that my podcast listeners are my most engaged audience members. They know exactly who I am. They are super also engaged with all things Array. So that, an email list, oh my God, like, are you kidding? Like, email lists are so important. It's 30% of our revenue, if not more, you know? So having a really good email strategy as well. These are two things. Like, this is how someone gets to know the essence of the brand and its founder. And this is how people buy into the brand. So I honestly could not say enough good things about it. If you have the opportunity to start a podcast, it's never too late. I feel like you should just do it.
Yeah. Oh, and you just touched on so many good nuggets about, like, when I'm teaching email list strategy to people, like you mentioned, if you did not have that, you literally would be leaving 30% of your revenue on the table. That is huge.
No, it's like you can't ignore that.
Right. It's like you can't put a dollar sign on that, you know, and it's so many people, they'll get lost in this kind of algorithm, crazy Instagram, FOMO mindset stuff where I'm like, if you would just take that energy and just, like, go launch a podcast or go, like, really hone in on an intentional email strategy, you would see results so much faster. And so I would love for you to touch on that a little bit, this idea of just getting started, like you just stated. I think a lot of times people make up and tell themselves that they can't start the podcast yet because no one will listen, or they don't have enough people in their pool to, you know, that makes it worth the time, or they don't have the money to, like, you know, focus in on, like, building out an email strategy or hiring someone to help them create a newsletter or whatever excuses that people have, right? I see you, like, shaking your head. So, like, you're with me on this. So, like, I would love just to get your take on what does it mean to just get started with intention with those.
So Nish and I have this saying that we operate our entire business, and I would say, like, even beyond Array, like, how I have operated my entire, like, everything that I do, okay? And it's launch fast and iterate. You do not need for everything to be perfect. It probably won't be. And if it is, you've waited for too long, okay? It's done, okay? It's too late. So just get started with what you have. For us, I've said this story before, but I will share it with your audience as well. When we first launched Array, the product, like the ingestible product, was perfect. And we had worked so hard on our packaging. And when the finalized boxes came and the labels, it looked horrible. Okay. It was nothing like what it looked like on the computer. And at that moment in time, Nish and I had a decision that we could either take all the labels off, wait for more labels to come in for us to repaste it. It would essentially delay our launch by at least 2 months, or we could just go to market and improve on the next batch. Okay. We went to market. It was the best decision we ever made because you know what? Like, over time, we iterated on our branding anyway. Like, it doesn't even look like what it looked like back then, right? Same thing with my podcast. If you go listen to episode 1, which was, by the way, with like a very like up there dermatologist, sound quality, crap, horrible. I was sweating through my shirt because of how nervous I was to interview this person, okay? And for like 20 interviews after, I was equally nervous. But my thing was that I don't care if I'm not perfect. I'm not going to get perfect until I get enough reps in. So whatever it is you're doing, you are going to look back on your first post, your first podcast interview, your first product iteration, and you're probably going to feel like, oh, that's so cringe. That cringe is a part of the story. If you're not cringing at version 1, then that means that the growth just hasn't been there. And also what you said about hiring, why would you hire someone before you have proof of concept? Like, you know what I mean? Of course, if you have the money and you can afford the help and all of that, then sure. But I think there's something to be said about being really scrappy and doing every job at the beginning. Like when I started my podcast, I was hauling my ass all over the city because I didn't have a studio. Okay. So I would be going to people's offices and homes to record this podcast. Okay. There was no Dear Media back then. There was no fancy editing. There was no producer. It was me. I was my own everything. So I would go do these interviews, come home, export the file, and do all the editing myself, create social media posts, and push it out. And that's just how you get started. And that's how I started to get better. That's how my audience started to grow. So whatever it is, or like even our emails, like I look at version, like early versions of our emails that we'd sent. Oh my God, they were ugly, horrible, right? But you get better and you just have to have the grace and the resilience, I guess, to get better. There is absolutely no excuse for people to be like, oh, I'm not there yet. I don't have this, that, or the other in order to get started. The algorithm is against me. It's not even too late to start on Instagram or TikTok today. Like, look at Alex Earle, okay? This girl went from like, you know, 0 to 6 million in a year. That's unthinkable. Who's to say it can't be you, you know?
1,000,000%. And I always laugh because I created and launched my first course in 2016. I launched my podcast in 2017. I'm like, Alex Earle was probably like in diapers when I first launched my podcast. And like, here she is blowing up. So like, it's never too late. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you are in your path. And I love what you said about like your episode 1. When I look back to those two, it's like the way that I sound, I have like the podcast voice because I'm just so not confident in what it is that I'm doing. And I think that everybody, that's what makes you relatable. That's what makes you real. You know, once someone does go and succeed, people want to know those stories of how you got started and how you built it and when it was messy and clunky and didn't work. They don't want to just hear this, oh, I woke up and it was perfect situation. And so you need those examples of how it kind of leads you to where. So thank you for being able to share the podcast side and how that's really been supportive of your own journey of not only you as a founder, but just your brand and what that looks like. And speaking of which, I would love for you to share a little bit about what you can anyway, about what's to come with Array and what we should really get excited about and what you can kind of tease that we should be expecting to see maybe over the next 12 to 18 months.
So when we started Array, our thesis for the brand was products that you feel the impact of immediately. Okay. So it was going to be a little bit more wide ranging when it came to the types of products. But then over time, this is again speaks volumes to speaking to your community. We realized that what people really needed help with was digestion specifically. Okay. So we launched, for example, last year, our heartburn product. I never thought I was going to do a heartburn product. Okay. When I thought of the brand, like early in early days of the brand, but it was something that people kept talking about. They were like, can you do a cleaner heartburn product? There's nothing like I'm taking these over-the-counter products that are really bad for me, blah, blah, blah. So we were like, okay, we're going to go formulate the best possible heartburn product that is on the market, something that like really nurtures your body's natural ability to like regulate acid levels, et cetera, launched Heartburn last year. And it was such a successful launch, right? Because not only was the product super efficacious, but we took something that is, you know, not really a sexy issue and made it really fun and relatable and like made cute content around it and had like an awesome launch. So that's kind of like our trajectory as a company. So instead of being wide ranging right now, our focus is really like, what can we do for all things digestion and gut health? So similarly, we just last week launched our constipation product, which has no harsh laxatives. It's just something that gets you really regular and essentially just body supports your body's own mechanisms, right? And it's really beautiful. It's such a fun product. It's like hot Barbie pink. It's like, it's just fun, you know? And so we really wanted to remove the taboo away from like all of these different issues. So in terms of the next 12 to 18 months, that's exactly what you can expect from us. Like, different products in the digestive / gut health realm. But we're really excited. I think that there's so much that you're going to see from us this year. And we're really excited to transform this whole category. I think, you know, people deserve better when it comes to their digestion. It's really the epicenter of so much. And so we really want to be able to support that.
Well, and that's what I just want to make a note, that it's not just the bloat capsules that I love. Your Calm is amazing. I have your Heartburn as well, which I just took with me on a trip during the holidays because I knew, again, there's going to be some wine. There's just going to be other things happening.
Totally.
And your sleep, my husband actually stole my sleep capsules. So like, I need to get more of those.
I will restock always, you.
Yes. He's battled sleep for a really long time. He's insomnia. He's tried everything. And he really, really loves the sleep capsules. I'm going to make sure to add links in the show notes for everyone if you want to dive in and kind of choose your own adventure based on what may be your ailment for today. But it's really, really great stuff. And that kind of leads me to my next little topic that I want to share with you. And I would love to know what your take is on this, Sif, because you've been in this game for a while. So you've seen the changes, you've seen the iterations. You started as a content creator. We called ourselves influencers and bloggers back in the day. But I would love what I kind of believe in and what I've always tried to share and teach and educate creators on is that it's great to start as a blogger, influencer, content creator, but you have to have a greater vision in mind about where is that content creation actually taking you. And that is why through my own journey of doing it and then through teaching so many people, I'm a firm believer in the content creation cannot be the end game. Even working with brands cannot be the end game. That's just one revenue stream. It's one way to monetize your content. I firmly believe in you have got to get to a place where you are creating your own products and services. I don't care if it's, you know, a digital product, if it's a physical product, if it's a coaching service, whatever that is, you have to get to a place where you are building out and creating something that you truly own. I would love your perspective on that because you have done that yourself. And what has just been your experience and any kind of tips or feedback that you can get to our listeners on that belief system if you believe similarly?
I absolutely 100% agree with you. Okay. And the reason is that when you are dependent solely on brand partnerships and like that as like your income source, that's really dangerous because you don't know what's going to happen. Okay. You don't know what's going to happen with the economy and budgets shrinking. Okay. You don't know what's going to happen when it comes to apps changing certain things. Okay. You don't own that. You have no ability to control it. Okay. So of course your audience is super important and don't stop doing what you're doing on social media. But Julie, as you're saying, having a long-term vision in terms of like what you can do and like how you can, I guess, use that audience and like the platform that you've built is almost like a launch pad for more because it really does give you an advantage, okay? Because you have all of these eyes on you already. So you can launch something that works because of that. But I think the right way to do it is really to understand what your audience comes to you for. Okay. So you can see that certain creators, they launch something and it's kind of like a flop because it's so out of left field that it's not what their audience was going to them for from the beginning, right? So I think having a good understanding of what is it that your audience and your community trusts you for? Is it skincare? Is it coaching? Is it, you know, workouts because you're extremely fit? Is it recipes? What is it? If it's recipes, is it an ebook? And then, you know, maybe a line of like spices or some food and beverage company down the line. You know, if you're into like growth, like, you know, like self-improvement, whatever, can you at some point launch like maybe like a life coaching practice or like some sort of an ebook to help people with like tips and tricks? You know what I mean? There's so many different avenues, but I think being really tuned into what it is people are coming to you for, like, what is your expertise? What are you the best at? What do people really trust you for? And getting really honest about that, because I don't know, like if you're posting fashion, but all your DMs are about your skin, like maybe you got to think, maybe it's like time for a little bit of a rebrand or like really, you know, being honest about what it is your audience wants from you essentially. So I totally agree with you. I think you have to be someone who is future facing. Content creation cannot be the be all end all. It is, as you said, one revenue stream. And also you also have to think about like, okay, what is your longevity? What's your plan, right? Because maybe you don't want to be in front of the camera for the rest of your life. Okay. And like, what does life look like after you decide that maybe you don't want to have to rely on being camera ready and constantly showing up every single day as your only source of, you know, money. So it's something to think about. And I think really it's an important thing to think about.
And I loved what you said just about really being honest with yourself about what your audience wants from you, because I think a lot of times we can kind of get lost in what we think that they're interested in or what we wish they were interested in based on maybe like our own passion at the moment. And you want to make sure that obviously you enjoy doing the things that you do, but it's not like every single day, I don't know about you, Sif, it's not like every single day I wake up and I'm like, I can't wait to like coach content creators on how to pitch. But I do have this deeper why and purpose for doing what I do. And that sustains me. I'm sure every day you don't wake up and you're like, I can't wait to talk about bloating again, but you do have a deeper why there. And so I think that there's more to that that creators could really tap into.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And also, you know, like if you do use your community to then end up launching something, know that your community will still be there to talk about the things that maybe you want to talk about. Like, it's not like I'm on stories all day long talking about Array. Like, I have other interests and like people like me for my other interests as well. It's just that this is the thing that fuels me and the thing that drives me, you know?
Oh, so good. It's so, so good. Well, I could talk to you all day because you're just a wealth of knowledge. You have done such incredible things with your life, your business, and most importantly, with the people that you're meant to serve and impact, because again, it's about people first always. And I think that you've really hit the nail on the head with that and you're serving so many people. So with that, I would love for you to share where our community, and again, we're going to have everything in the show notes, but for anyone that listened to the podcast today, as always, I love to get your takeaways and feedback. And so if there was an aha moment for you or any kind of thing that made you start to think differently or excited you, I want to hear what those are. I know Sif would also like to see and hear what those are too. So screenshot today's episode, tag us in it, let us know what your biggest takeaway was. And with that, Sif, can you share where people can find you on social media and online?
Yeah, absolutely. And before I do that, you were such a good interviewer and this was such a fun conversation. So I really appreciate you having me. It was like really a joy. In terms of where people can find me and Array, you can find me at Sif Hyder on social media anywhere. My podcast is the Dream Bigger Podcast. Also, you can find me wherever podcasts are found. And then you can find Array at array.com or at array.co on social.
Awesome. And guys, her podcast is good. And I don't just say that. I just don't say anything, but her podcast is good. It's like everybody and their dog has a podcast now. She has a good podcast. So definitely check her podcast out. And again, thank you so much for being here with us and for making such a great product that is not only just impacted my life in a great way, but I know is going to impact so many of our listeners that just want to step into greatness. And this is going to be a great stepping stone for them to do that. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Julie. This was a joy.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.